Jeremiah 36. Like the chapter on the Rechabites, this chapter belongs to the days of Jehoiakim, the fourth year of Jehoiakim. Then this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. The crisis of the overthrow of Judah was approaching, and God would give the people a final warning. The roll of a book would be that with which we are familiar from Bible illustrations and from the scrolls of the law in use among the Jews to this day. Several skins of parchment would be joined together to form a continuous band, which would be rolled upon two rollers. The writing would be arranged in columns parallel with the rollers, and the reader would unroll from left to right as he read. A notable ancient illustration exists to this day in the synagogue of Nablus, that is Shechem. God said in commanding Jeremiah to write this book, It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. It was a last chance, and one cannot but be struck with the long-suffering and goodness of God, thus expressed in his commission to the prophet. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. Baruch was the prophet's amanuensis in the matter of the purchase of the field, as described in chapter 32. And in chapter 45, he had the honor of a short message from God all to himself, and of a divine exhortation and promise. He wrote the scroll and waited the prophet's directions. These expressions, all the words that I have spoken, verse 2, all the words of the Lord, verses 4, 8, and 11, and so on, are challenging. They introduce the question of the mode of inspiration. As a matter of fact, the question was put to Baruch by the princes and the people, How didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Baruch simply answered, He pronounced all these words with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. The questions should rather have been, How did Jeremiah come to remember all the words that God had spoken unto him against Israel? And how did Jeremiah come to speak at all in the name of the Lord? The answer to the first question is that inspiration gives infallible memory. This was Christ's special promise to the apostles. When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. The Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Hence the very intimate reports of the sayings of Jesus that we find in John's Gospel. Hence also the long record of the Sermon on the Mount. Any other view would belie the promise of Jesus and reduce the word of the Lord to the word of man, almost making Matthew the real author of the Sermon on the Mount and John the author of those last sayings of Jesus. As to the second question, the ultimate source of all knowledge is God. The rebuke of the wisdom of this world is nowhere put more emphatically than in Psalm 94. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are a vanity. God taught Adam and Eve by direct communication through the angels of his presence. He taught the patriarchs by dreams and visions, as well as orally. He inspired even bad men like Balaam and Saul, and even opened the mouth of the dumb ass. He spoke to all Israel in the trumpet tones of Sinai, striking terror into all hearts. All these things and more underlie the emphatic statements of Jeremiah 36. And the proof of it all is in the fulfillment of the prophecy. Jeremiah of himself could not possibly have said and written these things. Daniel in Babylon studied Jeremiah's prophecy of the 70 years captivity and was himself rewarded by revelations of inspiration, many or rather most of which are already fulfilled in the historical outworkings of the prophecies involved. It is necessary to keep on insisting on these things in view of the ever-growing unbelief and hostile criticism of the Bible that is current. When Jeremiah prophesies again, like John in Revelation 10, the need for argument will have passed, and faith will be changed to sight. Meanwhile, we must keep on drawing attention to the Word of God. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord, in the ears of the people in the house of the Lord, upon the fast day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. We cannot tell why or how Jeremiah was shut up. He was evidently at liberty to move about freely, as appears from verse 19, where the princes say to Baruch, go, hide thyself, thou and Jeremiah. It may have been ceremonial uncleanness, as when Doeg was detained before the Lord when David ate the showbread. Or it is suggested it may have been that he was in fear of his life. The fast, verse 9, seems to have been an outward act of contrition before the Lord. Then Baruch read the scroll in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the house of the Lord, in the ears of all the people. And Micaiah reported the matter to the princes in the king's house, and they sent for Baruch to come and read the scroll to them, which he did. They said they would report the matter to the king and asked Baruch, how didst thou write all these words? And he told them. And then the princes bade Baruch and Jeremiah to hide themselves. And they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe and told all the words in the ears of the king. Jehoiakim sent Jehudi to bring the roll back to him and to read it in his hearing. And he did so. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. This would be about midwinter, corresponding to our December. It can be very cold in Jerusalem at this time, sometimes with deep snow. In summer, they naturally take to the upper portions of the house and to the rooftops, but in winter, to the warmer lower chambers. When Jehudi had read three or four leaves, or columns according to the RV margin, the king cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was upon the hearth, until all the roll was consumed. Yet were they not afraid. Even then there was some protest against this profanity. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. It is a kind of honourable mention of men who were not afraid of the king's commandment. Upon this principle, the parents of Moses hid the infant Moses at the risk of their lives. The king at once commanded the arrest of Baruch and Jeremiah, but the Lord hid them. Burning the word of God is a foolish enterprise. The word itself will burn the man who attempts this. And so Jehoiakim found to his cost. God commanded Jeremiah, saying, take thee another roll and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burnt. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burnt this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast? Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, but his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearkened not. Jeremiah obeyed, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burnt in the fire. And there were added besides unto them many like words. As for Jehoiakim, the word of the Lord had before declared, he shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. That was in Jeremiah 22. The book of Chronicles relates how Nebuchadnezzar carried him captive to Babylon. It's in 2 Chronicles 36. Where, it would appear, he died in disgrace.